Blog Talk Radio.
It's what you want, boy. It's what you need, boy. We about to give you more of what you need.
That's been pent up inside for years. Exclusive type, only for your eyes and ears. You held it in for so long, you burst it into tears. The letters spill slowly across the page like a world premiere. We're lying, the bullshit begins here. The obvious cause, the effects is unclear. The punishment for crimes of the heart could be severe. Though to keep it on the low is a heavy cross to bear. You deep now, submerged with no signs of air. Still your sunken heart thumping like the kick in a snare. While on the surface, it's all turning to a circuit. That's why you're nervous, and you gotta right to be, cause if somebody would have done that shit to me, I mean my best man hitting my wife to be, my sentiments exactly would be history, you know what I'm saying, hey, my people's in a place, let's count it on, 1, 2,
tell me what y'all
to
do, 3, 4, it's time for all of your
change. It's all the same thing. The same characters in the book with different names. It's a lot more to lose than you got to gain. You a lot more confused than hip to the game. To beat the script to the game, the price is pain. Men and women get into things, now who's to blame? When everybody whispering about whatever took place and how the fact was denied with a straight face. Them lies hard to swallow from the bitter taste, but that's the point in the past that can't be erased. So motivate, though it's hard to let it ride or set aside true feelings. Underhand dealing, a lost trust. I wonder if we lost us. It's bigger than me and you, it's monstrous. So I'ma just calm down and shot or relax before I clap the hammer, then the hammer I tap. Count
1, 2, tell me what y'all to do. 3, 4, it's time for all your suggestions. 5, 6, get up inside and mix. 7, 8, no time to hesitate.
Back and undo our actions, change what happens, dissect the fractions, a time to rewind and be recorded absent, for real, cause these memories is photographic, pornographic, pushing me close to madness, head heavy like I'm tripping on acid tablets, yesterday as I recall was all fabulous, a thought so, but now I feel like shots hitting my torso, spent a lot of time and trust in the wrong place, fought a lot of fights, rolling with the wrong ace, love, stronger than pride, weaker than disgrace, I need room to think and space. But solid as a rock shall not disintegrate. Thoughts racing like they lunatics on the interstate. Real, yeah, ill, yeah. My people's in a place, tell me how to start. Here we go,
1, 2, tell me what y'all to do. 3, 4, it's time for all your
suggestions.
Rock and roll to your vocal and rock. Then your rock to the rhythm and just don't stop. 5, 6, get up inside the mix. 7, 8, it's time to move the beat.
Evening listeners, and welcome to another edition of Conversations of a Sister here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ms. Tracy L. Bell, and I thank you for tuning in tonight, be it online or by phone, for tonight's conversation. And tonight's conversation is quarantine and your mental health. The quarantine that we're living in and your mental health. Now, we've been talking about different subjects concerning quarantine since we came back on the air the first Wednesday in April. And the reason for that is because this is a situation that we're all currently living in. And quarantine separates and restricts the movement of people. And right now we are separated from people that we love, people that we're used to having daily interaction with. And that tends to work on one's mental health. And for some individuals, they're flipping out, while others are perfectly content. Either way, it can be a stressful situation, and everyone reacts differently in stressful situations. We're talking quarantine and your mental health, and we are taking calls in the studio tonight. You can call us with your questions at 516-595-8098. Please remember to dial 1 or press 1 for the host queue. I do have a special guest in our studios tonight. She's no stranger to the show, no stranger to the conversations, but she is my special guest. She specializes in psychological evaluations, behavioral disorders, learning disabilities, ADHD, and parental issues. Her focus in therapy is in helping her clients develop a stronger sense of self-sufficiency and wholeness. She also guides and encourages her clients to become empowered, to cope more effectively with life stressors. And I would say that what we're dealing with now is considered a life stressor. She also embraces her clients' personal circumstances. She received her Bachelor of Science degree in psychology from Drexel University in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She received her master's and doctorate degree in clinical psychology from the Georgia School of Professional Psychology in Atlanta, Georgia. And she is a licensed clinical psychologist in the state of Georgia. Like I said, she's no stranger to the conversation. I welcome back to the show Dr. Brianna Gaynor. Doctor, how are you?
I am good. Thank you for having me back. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Doctor, tell us, how are you coping in this quarantine situation? And is your business currently open during the quarantine?
It's interesting. So to answer the first question, it's interesting because I think a lot of times when you are in this field, you know a lot of the things to say to people, but you really have to kind of take a step back and figure out what works for you. So I'm doing okay in the quarantine. I think it's about, for me, trying to figure out a schedule and a routine, trying to do things that still feel productive, because it can be hard when you're not doing the same level of things in terms of interacting and seeing clients in the same way. And just trying to figure out a way to keep active and making sure I'm getting fresh air. So I think I figured out a routine. Yes, we are open, but we are working through telehealth. So the therapists are still, my therapists who are in the office are still seeing clients, but we are seeing them online right now.
And I understand, based upon research and conversations with a number of people, that the key to this quarantine is having some type of structure in place. Without structure, there is no directive, there is no schedule, and you can tend to be a little bit batty if this is the case. Do you agree with that with regards to mental health?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I actually have, in talking to clients and even trying to figure out how to do this for myself, really encouraging them to focus on 4 different areas in their day. So making sure that you are doing something for your body. So more now than ever, it's really important that you are eating well, that you are exercising or moving your body, that you're sleeping well, and making sure that you're paying attention to those, because that sets the tone for your day, how you're functioning, how well you're able to think. I think it's also important to do something that makes you feel productive, whether that's work, whether that's a project, but something that gets your mind moving. It's also important to make sure you're connecting with people, right? Because one of the things you said in the beginning is we are isolated. We're not able to connect with people in the same way. And then the last thing is just doing something to look forward to break up the monotony of the day, whether it's a TV show or a Netflix party online or reading a book. So all those elements and making sure that you're doing those things that help you not only feel structure, but enjoyment and human connection, I think are pretty essential in this time.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. Dr. Brianna, people are actually climbing the walls. I mean, we're being held up at home 7 days a week, day in and day out. Especially, you know, and people, some people are home. Every situation is different, but some people are actually home with children. And so we're all dealing with a plethora of issues as we are quarantined at home. What would you say for those parents who have children? How do they get them structured and on a schedule and into reacting or, I'm going to say, functioning in an environment that's different?
Well, I think it's important to probably look at what the lesson plans are, what the lesson plans are, and what's expected, and sometimes planning ahead. I have friends who are working from home and their kids are going to school, so is the kid old enough to be self-sufficient? If not, what are the things I can help you with versus maybe the things we can do later? So I think really looking at that and being able to create that structure for yourself in your head maybe the night before makes it better for the next day because you know what your plan is, you know when you may have time to do it or not, and you also know the things that you just can't do. And I think it's also being honest. It's frustrating. It's hard. You're not used to having to be a teacher, working from home.
Right.
This is an unprecedented situation. So being okay with the fact that it's going to be frustrating, being okay with the fact that you may have to walk away, and being okay with the fact that maybe we won't get everything done today, but there's another day that we can make it up, or maybe we make it up on the weekend. But also giving yourself grace because this is such an unusual circumstance. It's okay if you don't get it perfect, and giving yourself permission to not always get it right and to figure it out as you go along.
Right. And I think that figuring it out as you go along is essential, and it's also key because that was my niece's issue. She works from home anyway, but her husband is a school teacher and their daughter goes to nursery school, and all of a sudden she had them both in the house. And they were, like, driving her crazy. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I have to come up with a plan. I have to do something. She was literally in tears. So that's exactly what she did. She came up with a plan, and things became a little bit easier because sometimes now that the plan has changed and you have children at home, they automatically see it as, wow, it's time to play. It's time to ease.
Exactly.
The schoolwork. And you have to actually kind of get them focused on the fact that you may not literally be in the classroom, but you're in session. Class is definitely in session. So you have as schools closed, you have workers opt to telecommute and other, you know, social events that are being canceled. The prospect of being confined to the home because of this quarantine can be daunting. So time seems to be creeping by. Much more slowly after you've been in a home for a long period of time.
You lose track of what day it is. I'm like, wait, what day is it?
Exactly. So what do you suggest people do in order to stay on track and not get into the day-to-day mundane of what being at home in a quarantine can become? Mm-hmm. What do you think? What do you suggest people do to get on track?
I think making tiny goals for yourself. For me, there's something about just the satisfaction of writing a goal and crossing it out and knowing that I completed it, knowing kind of what I need to get done today and what I need to get done tomorrow, but seeing that I was able to be successful. And also getting outside and kind of getting some fresh air. I think being able to remove yourself from the situation when it starts to be mundane and just kind of switch it up and just kind of create a new space for yourself is really important because when you can have time away, then you can kind of reprioritize and regroup. So, for instance, there was a day, I think last week, or it's all running together right now, But I was in the house, I was eating, and I started to feel anxious. And I'm like, what is going on? And I opened the window, and it made such a big difference. And then I sat outside. So I think making goals for yourself and prioritizing the things you need to do, but also being willing to kind of get up and move and change your space and change what you're doing and just take a breather is also important. Sometimes you just need to stop what you're doing because it's not working and give yourself a minute.
Right.
And come back
even
to
if it's
it,
a walk.
Because then you can think,
yes.
Exactly. Something about walking, like I have started to exercise outside because the gym is not open, and although they are opening gyms here, I'm not going to be going to the gym anytime soon. But
I don't blame
you. There's something about getting outside and walking and feeling the fresh air that I start my day that way, and it sets the precedent. My mood is so much better. I feel so much better. It helps to wake me up. I'm just zoned out with my music. So I think also the way that you start your day and the intention with which you do that and however you do that, meaning doing something that helps you to be centered and focused. For me, it's about prayer and exercise, really sets your day. And I noticed that the days when I'm looking at my phone or checking emails or whatever, that again sets my day. So I'm worried about what's going on or I'm feeling busy or overwhelmed. So I think it's really important in how you start your day because that sets the tone.
Yes, it does. And it's funny that you mentioned what's happening in your state because, Dr. Brianna, you are in the great state of Georgia and the governor there is talking about reopening your state for business.
Yeah.
Do you think this is a stressful move and that is too soon?
I'm concerned, and I'm trying to be careful with how I say this. I'm concerned, and I don't quite understand the implementation or the kind of plan of the businesses that start first and then the ones after. I don't get it, to be very honest. I totally understand the desire and the need to open up the economy. I mean, all businesses have been hit. Mine certainly has. But,
right.
You know, I think the biggest issue with everything that's going on is there's so much uncertainty. With any other disease or anything, you know how to get tested. You know what you need to do. There's some protocol for it. But this is so uncertain that creates so much fear. And so I think that most people would feel more comfortable if we had more answers and we felt like people could at least get tested so they knew what to do and they know how to deal with this. But there's just so many uncertainties, and I think that that causes a higher level of stress when we're starting to open back up, but we still don't really have those answers.
Right. I think that that's the biggest issue. There is a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah.
Even when you listen to these doctors, these scientists, and these specialists on television, they do not have the answer, and they simply tell you that they don't know. It's to the point now where it's like you need to kind of sanction what you listen to because they're right, they don't know. So when we think about the uncertainty, that certainly can cause stress, but I was listening to a mayor in one of the towns in one of the states in Georgia, counties or one of the states in Georgia. This woman was literally in tears because she kept saying she could not understand the governor's reasoning for opening so soon. And her stress levels were so high that she was reduced to tears. And for me, she sounded like a regular human being, not a politician or a mayor.
Yeah.
She was genuinely concerned about it because it definitely sent her stress levels raging. So in such a time for the citizens of the state of Georgia and South Carolina and all these other states that are opening or that are going back to business as usual, but you have those who are skeptical about it or those who are you know, kind of taken back by it. Do you think the one way to reduce the stress is just to not do it?
I mean,
do you think that's an answer?
I think it could be, but I think the truth is, in all of this, and I don't know if this is comforting or not, maybe it, I hope that it is, we don't have control. So that can be scary because we all want control, but the truth is control is an illusion anyway. But what you can control is you. And so remembering that there are things that we can do. Obviously, we can't say that we won't get this virus, but we can do things to keep ourselves safe. For the majority of us who have been able to stay safe or who know people who are on the other side of it, we know that generally we've been okay. So doing the same things that you know have helped. So reducing the amount of time that you're out, or maybe not frequenting those businesses are going right now, you still have the ability to choose. And so hopefully in that, you can feel some sense of power in the fact that you can still choose what you do, and you don't have to go out or, you know, go to these businesses or get your nails done or get a tattoo. Like, you don't have to do that. And up until now, that has helped. So there are things that we can do, and you still get to choose. But the other stuff you don't. And so I also think that while it's important to be informed, you also need to manage how much you're watching the news and how often, because it incites fear. It just does. I notice the days when I'm watching the news more, I'm more anxious. So, again, I want to know what's going on, but I really have to create some boundaries around that to also help with my own mental health.
That's true. And I think that one's mental health is key to the way you react in the situation as a whole. So what would you leave my listeners with tonight with regards to quarantine and mental health?
I think the first thing that's important to do is just be honest. It's okay to not be okay. And sometimes as adults, we feel like we just need to be strong all the time. It's not okay to show our emotions or break down. We kind of need to get over it. No, it's okay to not be okay, because this is an unusual circumstance for all of us. So the more we can acknowledge how we feel, whether it's sad, mad, angry, anxious, the better we'll be able to move past it. The other thing is really establishing some ways to manage our stress level. So what was that before? So it may not be the same, but was exercise or moving something that was helpful to you? Maybe talking to friends, maybe taking a walk. You know, what are those things that helped you before? And try to incorporate them as best you can. Try to make sure that you're talking to people that you trust so that you're connecting on a regular basis, making sure that you are making goals for yourself and seeing yourself do that. And also just pay attention to your body and what you need. Maybe you just need a day to do nothing. Maybe you're saying, you know what, I'm going to take this day and feel how I feel and tomorrow do something different. But paying attention to how you feel, addressing that, making sure you're using good coping skills. And the another thing I think is also important is gratitude. One of the things I try to do for myself is to recognize the good things that are happening. So the fact that I have a house and I have food to eat and I have a car and I'm blessed. We are blessed. And as difficult as this is, we are in a position where we are still able to not only sustain ourselves, but we're comfortable. And that's a blessing. A lot of people aren't in that place. So the other thing I would say is, how can you also be a blessing to other people? Who needs you? Who can you just check on? And I think those kind of acts of kindness and making sure that you're looking out for other people can also help take the spotlight off of you and help you see that you can still do good and be a blessing to someone during this time.
Awesome. Wow. That was a very awesome wrap up. Dr. Thank Brianna, you. Please tell my listeners how they can reach out to you or contact your clinic should they need any type of counseling.
So our website is peaceofmindpsychology.com, P-A-C-E. I always like to specify that. It's that kind of piece, so peaceofmindpsychology.com. We are also at peaceofmindpsychology. Our phone number is 678-667-3565.
678-667-3565. Dr. Brianna, for some reason, you're fading in and out for some reason.
Oh, okay. Okay, so let me... Sorry about that. All right, let me try again.
That's okay.
Is this better? Okay.
That's a little better, yes.
Okay, so I was saying that the website is Peace of Mind, P-E-A-C-E, peaceofmindpsychology.com. We are also on Instagram and Facebook at Peace of Mind Psychology. And then the phone number to the office is 678-667-3565, 678-667-3565. And if they don't want to call directly, there's also a contact form tab on the website where they can put their information and we can contact them.
That's great. And I can imagine now at this time in society that you would be busy because the name of the business speaks for itself, Peace of Mind Psychological Services. And right now, yeah, a lot of people need that. They need some type of peace of mind, even if that's drawing on their own faith. I thank you so much, Dr. Gaynor, for being on the show tonight. And don't be surprised if we call on you again in the future because we never know where this is going to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me, and I hope that this was helpful to everyone listening.
Oh, most definitely. We'll be in touch soon. And for my listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Remember to like and follow us on Facebook at Conversations of a Sister, or join the conversations that are always happening on my blog at conversationsofasister.com. Until next week, peace, be well, and stay safe.
How y'all doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?